Ken, I want to join in with everyone else that's already welcomed everyone here. And if you're a visitor, we especially welcome you and hope that you will join us at any other opportunity that you have. And I appreciate the prayers on my behalf and the study that we have today. We've got quite a big topic. Quite a large topic today. We're going to be talking about facing the giant. And if you've already, you may already know that we'll be studying from 1 Samuel chapter 17. So if you would like to be turning to 1 Samuel chapter 17, we'll be staying here in this chapter quite a lot. I will have most of the passages on the screen that you can look at, but I will be skipping over a few of the verses here in this chapter. So if you want to continue reading and read the entire chapter as we go through this, I would encourage you to do that. We're going to start reading in 1 Samuel chapter 17, verses 1 through 3. It says, "Now the Philistines gathered together their armies to battle, and they were gathered together at Socah, which belongeth to Judah, and pitched between Socah and Azekah in Ephesdamium. Say that three times fast. Ephesdamium. And Saul and the men of Israel were gathered together and pitched by the valley of Elah and set the battle in array against the Philistines. The Philistines stood on a mountain on one side, and Israel stood on a mountain on the other side, and there was a valley between them." So to get our bearings, we're going to take a look at a map. And in this map, you can see here that Azekah is up here on the, that would be the top left, and Soko on the bottom right. And there's a valley there, and you can see where the Philistines there are on the south side, or on the bottom side of that, this valley of Elah. And the Israelites, they were on the top side there, and they were both up in the mountain on both sides, and the valley between. If you look at another map, you can kind of see this a little bit better without all of the other things, and some other, you can see Gath there, and Jerusalem, and Bethlehem, and you can kind of get a picture, an idea of exactly where we are. If you want to look at it, what it looks like today, there's highways and buildings and all kinds of stuff there. There's all kinds of stuff there. One of the most ancient and common rules of warfare is to maintain that high ground. And fighting up an uphill battle is kind of something that you would do if you wanted to lose, basically. You want to maintain that high ground, and fighting uphill would be a suicide mission. So both armies, they were assembled on either side, and they were waiting. They did not want to go down into the valley, because that meant whoever went down into the valley first had to face an uphill battle. In 1 Samuel, continue reading in verse number 4, 17 verse 4, "And there went out a champion out of the camp of the Philistines named Goliath of Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span. And he had a helmet of brass upon his head, and he was armed with a coat of mail. And the weight of the coat was 5,000 shekels of brass. So the this trial by battle, which was fixing to occur by Goliath and would be David here in a little bit, was where two of the strongest men of each army would usually be, the two strongest men of each army would come together, and they would meet and they would battle to the death. And both of these men would agree that whoever won, well, that's the army that's going to win. And the other side would accept defeat and would go on about and be overtaken. So the Philistines sent Goliath, who was about 9 foot tall plus. And he had the best armor. He had the best physical condition. He was a walking human tank. He was huge. Continuing reading in verse number 8. So he stood and he cried unto the armies of Israel and said unto them, why are ye come out and set your battle in array? Am not I a Philistine and ye servants to Saul? Those you a man for you, and let him come down to me. If he be able to fight with me and to kill me, then will we be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then shall ye be our servants and serve us. And the Philistine said, I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together. So the battle of David and Goliath is a representation of what Jesus came to this earth to do. Goliath constantly taunted and he mocked the Israelites. He calls out and he says, send me somebody to fight. Look at me. Look how big I am. Look how strong I am. Send me somebody, anybody. I don't care who it is. I'll be whoever you got. Goliath did this, and the Jews taunted and mocked Jesus also, didn't they? David came down off the mountain into the valley to fight what seemed to be an impossible battle to win against a huge opponent. Jesus came down from heaven to fight a battle that no man could win. The battle of sin and death. Everything was on the line for those people, the Israelites. Everything. If David was to lose this battle to Goliath, the Israelites would have to be slaves to the Philistines. And if Jesus didn't die on the cross and conquer the grave, then we would have to be slaves and servants of sin forever. First Samuel chapter 17, continuing in verse number 11. When Saul and all Israel heard those words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. Saul, who was the likely candidate for this task, he's king and all, and he's the biggest and the strongest and the tallest. If you remember how he became king, he was a man of great stature. He was the likely candidate here. One would think that he would be the one that should go out and fight Goliath, but he was afraid. And David, the most unlikely candidate ever that you would ever think of, a small boy, is willing to go out and step forward and go fight this man, Goliath. Jesus was also an unlikely candidate, wasn't he? In the eyes of the Jews, in the eyes of men, Jesus was an unlikely candidate. Remember Isaiah chapter 53, verses 2 through 4? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows, and acquainted with grief. And we hid as it were our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. In our eyes, Jesus was a very unlikely candidate in the eyes of the Jews, in the eyes of men. Just as David was a very unlikely candidate to face Goliath, Everyone was afraid. They focused on the size of the giant instead of the abilities of God. They lost focus on the solution and focused on the problem. The solution being the power of God and the promises that he had made them. Let's continue reading in 1 Samuel. And all the men of Israel, they saw the man and fled from him. And they were sore afraid. And the men of Israel said, Have you seen this man that he has come up? Surely to divide Israel he has come up. And it shall be that the man who killeth him and the king will enrich him with great riches and will give him his daughter and make his father's house free in Israel. And David spake to the men that stood by him, saying, What shall be done to the man that killeth this Philistine and taketh away the reproaches from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? So the soldiers here, they come to David, or as David comes to them and is talking to them, they tell David, you know, Saul's promised all these great things for the man that goes down in there and fights this guy. For the man that can beat this guy, this man Goliath, he is offer riches and freedom and all of these things for his family. For the man that would risk to go down and fight this man Goliath. But David, he trusted in God, and he asked the soldiers, who is it that can defy the armies of the living God? What? He says, what? Why are we even talking about this? Why is this even a question? Why don't we just go beat them? Why don't we just go do what God said? He never worried about losing the fight because God was on his side. And with Jesus, it's the same way for us, isn't it? David knew what the outcome would be. We should know what the outcome is going to be. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Jesus has won the victory already. The victory's been won. Jesus wasn't focused on what he was going to go through, and instead he focused on the joy of what God showed him what the outcome was going to be. And now he sits at the right hand of the throne of God, and Jesus weighed the risk. He weighed the joy against the joy against the sorrow. He weighed the pain and the suffering against the comfort. He compared all of those things, and you know what? It was no contest for him. He said, you know what? The outcome far outweighs the things that I would go through now. And the giants that we face in this life, you know, they seem to be big and scary and strong, but you know what? God, the God that we serve is much scarier, much stronger than anything else that we could ever face. And we're supposed to have a reverent fear and respect for him and the promises that he has given us. In our lives today, the sacrifices that we must make, the things that we must endure, they do not compare to the glory that awaits us one day. If you hang in there, if you continue to fight, God will deliver on his promises. He has already won the victory. It's not about the size of our problems, really, is it? It's about our faith in the power of Jesus Christ. It's It's about our faith in the power that Jesus has come to this earth, and he has died, and he has won the victory over sin and death, and he has given us salvation. He saved us. It's no wonder that so many times is recorded in the Bible. Look at Matthew chapter 17. O ye of little faith, Jesus says, many, many, many times. Matthew chapter 17, verse 20, he says, he said unto them, because of your unbelief, for verily I say unto you, if ye have faith as a grain of a mustard seed, ye shall unto this mountain remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible for you. Do we have a faith that is alive? A faith that has the power to move mountains? Isn't that what the Israelites and the Philistines, they were in the mountains. Neither one coming down into the valley because they'd have to fight an uphill battle. Is that what we feel like sometimes? It's an uphill battle. Well, guess what he says here? He says, you can say to this mountain, you know what? Get out of here. Go over there. Mountains aren't anything for the power of God. Faith in God's power is what makes it possible, makes possible the things that seem impossible. Listen to what he says. He says here, he says, nothing will be impossible for you. Nothing. We need to remember that no matter how big that the giant seems to be that we're facing, our God is bigger. He is more powerful than all of those things that we could face. And he can handle it. And you know what? He has handled it. Let's continue reading in 1 Samuel. Starting in verse 31. And when the words were heard which David spake, they rehearsed them before Saul, and he sent for him. And David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go and fight with this Philistine. And Saul said to David, thou art not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for thou art but a youth. And he a man of war from his youth. This is a grown man. Huge, 9 foot tall, a walking tank, and you're a little kid. What you going to do? What are you going to do? So when someone says you can't do something, the fact is they're right. They're absolutely right. When somebody tells me that I don't have the capability of doing something, the fact is they're right. And the fact is we cannot do it alone. We can't do it alone. We can't do it by ourselves. But remember, with God, as we read in Matthew chapter 17, with God all things are possible. All things are possible. He empowers us through the faith of his power, his word. He empowers us to do great things. Because we have faith in him, it empowers us to act upon that faith and do great things. And that's what David did, isn't it? When someone says you can, just remember with God's help you can. You can. The very fact of the matter that we can't take care of things on our own is why Jesus had to come and die for us. Because we couldn't pay for the price of sin on our own. We couldn't have salvation by our own power or something that I could have done. It was only by the power of God that we have any hope at all. Continue looking in verse number 34. And David said unto Saul, thy servant kept his father's sheep. And there came a lion and a bear and took a lamb out of the flock. And when I went out after him and smote him and delivered it out of his mouth, and he arose and went against me, I caught him by his beard and smote him and slew him. Thy servant slew both lion and bear. And this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he hath defied the armies of the living God. David said, moreover, the Lord that delivereth me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine. And Saul said unto David, go, and the Lord be with thee. So David here was proving God's excellent track record, wasn't he? He says, you know what? In the past, he said, yeah. You know, he's delivered me from the lion and the bear. He's given me the ability to defeat them. And this man, Goliath, you know what? It ain't going to be any different. This battle isn't really about David. It's not about Saul. It's not about Goliath, for that matter. It's all about God. It's all about God. God hasn't lost before, and he's not going to lose today. God is not a loser. First Samuel chapter 17, verse 40. And he took his staff in his hand, and he chose him five smooth stones out of the brook. And he put them in a shepherd's bag, which he had had, even in a scrip. And his sling was in his hand, and he drew near the Philistine. And the Philistine came on and drew near unto David, and the man that bare the shield went before him. And when the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him, for he was but a youth, and ruddy, and of a fair countenance. And the Philistine said unto David, am I a dog that thou comest to me with staves? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine said to David, come to me, and I will give thy flesh unto the fowls of the air and the beasts of the field. Pretty intimidating, huh? Pretty intimidating stuff. David was very out of place here, wasn't he? In our eyes. He's just a shepherd boy in the middle of a great army, but David had confidence in God and that God would use his abilities to defeat the Philistine. And I want to tell you this. If you do not remember anything else that we talk about today, I want you to remember this. If you have a unique set of gifts that God has given you for a unique set of circumstances that God has put you in, he knows what you're going to face. He knows the struggles that you're going to go through. He knows what you're going to need to face them. And he has provided those things for you. And he's going to get you through it. He will get you through it. Now, it may not be the way that you think or the way that you imagine or the way that you envision all of this stuff happening and you going through it. It may not be the way that you've prepared it in your mind. But in God's way, he will take care of it. David was okay with being different. David was okay with not being the same as all of these soldiers that were around him, because he trusted in the God that would provide him with all the things that he would need. continue. We've already read that verse. Goliath. So he's talking trash here in verses 41 through 44. He's talking a lot of trash. As kids say, smack. I don't know what that means, but he's talking a lot of stuff about, you know, say, yeah, you know what? You're just a little squirt, and I'm going to tear you from limb to limb. I'm going to feed you to the fowls, and there won't be nothing left of you. They had no idea what to do. But David was brave and went before David, went before Goliath. And we too face issues in our lives, and you know what? We don't know what to do either sometimes. At first, we may not have the answer, but we can always go to our God in prayer, and he's going to provide for us. He's going to give us the things that we need. Let's look at Mark chapter 11, verse 24. Says, therefore I say unto you, whatsoever things you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them, and ye shall have them. Now, I'm not using this verse to say name and claim it, because, you know, obviously we need to be asking for things according to God's word. But God knows the things that we need, and he's going to provide those things for us. And we need to have confidence in that. That we're going to have what we need. We need to understand that just as we take care of our children here on this earth and we give them the things that they need, not necessarily the things they desire. We give them the things that they need. Our Heavenly Father gives us the things that we need. And he's going to take care of our needs, because he cares for us. Continue in verse number 45. Then said David unto the Philistine, thou comest to me with a sword and with spear and with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. This day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand, and I will smite thee and take thine head from thee, and I will give the carcasses of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air, to the wild beasts of the earth, and all of the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. And all of this assembly shall know that the Lord shall not with sword and spear, for the battle the Lord saveth with not sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. So now it's David's turn to speak, right? But instead of talking about how great he is and how strong he is and how bad he's going to, you know, he's going to do all of this damage to him. But instead of doing that and shouting all these insults to him like Goliath did, he talks about the power of God, doesn't he? He says, yeah, I have a powerful God, and God's going to deliver us he's going to deliver you into my hands. He says nothing of the confidence that he has in himself, but only the confidence he has in God. Look at verse number 48. And it came to pass when the Philistine arose, and he came and drew nigh to meet David, that David hasted and ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. So when Goliath and David approached, David hurried up to meet him. He ran towards him, ran towards the battle, not away from it. You know, God wants us to have that same kind of faith today, to face the battles that we come in, that come our way. It's about more than just reading your Bible. It's not about just reading your Bible and knowing Scripture. It's about It's about more than memorizing scripture and knowing those things mentally. It's about more than just going to church on Sunday. It's about having a faith in God, having a living faith, a living, breathing faith in the Word of God that is alive in you. Alive, a faith that is alive. What does that mean? James chapter 2, verse 17 says, "Even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works." David had that faith, didn't he? It was more than just knowing scripture. It was more than just knowing what was right and what was wrong. It was more than just having a belief. It was about having a faith that caused him to act, wasn't it? It was about having a faith that was so deep in him that he acted on it. David had that faith. It was alive in him. We can see it by his actions. When faith becomes alive in you, when the faith of God becomes alive in you, it has the power to change everything. It has the power to change everything. Why? Because it gets you to work. It gets you to being a servant of God the way that he wants you to be. It gets you to serving others the way that we should. It gets you to loving others the way that Jesus loved us. It has the power to change everything. We live here on this earth and we battle against temptation and sin in our lives, but the battle, you know, it really belongs to the Lord. God has won the victory already. And by believing and being obedient to the gospel of Christ, which is the death and the burial and the resurrection of Jesus, we can claim that victory. We can claim that victory through Jesus Christ. We can be saved from sin and death. Look at verse number 49. "And David put his hand in his bag and took thence a stone and slung it and smote the Philistine in his forehead, that the stone sunk into his forehead and he fell upon his face to the earth." With a slinging stone from a little boy. How awesome is the power of God? How many things have I looked at or you looked at in your life and said, "No, it's too big. It's too big, I can't face it." Everybody saw a giant here. It was too big to be defeated, but David saw a giant that was so big, he couldn't miss. He couldn't miss. I can hit lots of little bitty targets. How am I going to miss this guy? David was willing to run and face this giant of a man in battle, and we should be willing to run in towards and face the things, the giants that we face each day here in our lives today. Thousands of soldiers watched, but only one boy. Only one boy had the faith alive, the living faith that in God and the power of God, and used that to deliver and defeat Goliath. Only one boy believed it. Truly believed it. Will we believe in having a living faith and in the power of God today? Will we do it? I want you to know I struggle. I think we all do. I think we all do. Believing in the Lord gets you absolutely nothing. Absolutely nothing. Just belief. But by believing and obeying in the gospel of Christ, you can have salvation. It gets you everything. Will you be one who runs towards the battle? Or are you going to keep running from it? Those are the thoughts that I have this morning. I appreciate the attention. And if there's a need you have, if you've like the prayers of the church, if it's a spiritual need or a physical need that you'd like us to pray for, if you'd like to obey the gospel and become a member of the body of Christ and stop running from those battles and stand strong with a firm living faith in the power of Jesus Christ, we can do that for you. We can help you with that this morning if you come forward as we stand and